From Philadelphia, PA, it's Avenue G.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
A mythical, mirthful, musical place. It's groovy, it's grand. It transcends time and space. And it's a place where anything is possible. Martha Michael is in the house tonight, as well as Mac Jekyll, Chester B. Arthur, and me, Andy Pettit. Now here's your host, Jim Harris.
Thanks, Andy. Welcome, everyone, to the Avenue G Holiday Show. As you heard, we have a special guest tonight. It's Martha's uncle, Chester B. Arthur, who's visiting from Gaithersburg, Maryland. It's great to have you here, Chester.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here. So what's in store for the listeners of today's show?
Well, it's going to be fun and full of surprises, kind of like last year's holiday show, except without so many copyright violations.
And will you be telling funny Christmas stories from your colorful past, like the time you got your head stuck in a doll's house at Macy's department store?
That's not funny, Andy. I could have died.
Yeah, died of embarrassment. How old were you, like 12? A little old to be playing with dolls, don't you think?
Action figures, Andy, not dolls. It's open. Come on in.
Hey, Jimbo. Hey, it's me, Vincent Blaylock. Hey, you know, there's something I want to talk about. Now, I know you and I have had our disagreements in the past.
Disagreements? You murdered my grandfather and stole his land.
Yeah. Hey, if I'd have known it was your grandfather, I'd have put the steamroller in reverse. Anyway, I can see you're still angry about that. But I'd like to make things up to you by offering you an opportunity to get in on the ground floor of what I think will be a fabulous new industry. All it will require is a small investment on your behalf.
Investment? You know I haven't got any money. I'm living in an abandoned van down by the river.
No, not anymore. It was blocking the entrance to my toxic waste dump, so I had it towed. What? But be that as it may, I have recently started a brand new business making jewelry from the teeth of wild pandas. And I'm thinking, this will be the hot new gift for Christmas.
That's horrible. You're making useless trinkets out of panda teeth? You're going to end up in jail, assuming that the Chinese don't kill you.
No, Jim, no, you got it all wrong. The Chinese government is backing me up on this. You see, they're baby teeth. They fall out of their mouths naturally. It's not like we're pulling them out of their faces. Nobody gets hurt.
This is barbaric. I can't believe you want to do this at Christmas. Charles Dickens will be spinning in his grave.
Listen, baby teeth are a renewable resource. What we're doing is recycling. And if this takes off in China, we can gather endangered animal baby teeth in India, Indonesia, and that country where all the Mexicans come from. I forget what it's called. It doesn't matter. Anyhow, the baby panda teeth are on everybody's holiday shopping list. They're like that doll, you know, the cabbage patch, only with teeth. Hey, check out this YouTube video. It's going viral. Here, I'll show you on my cell phone.
All I want for Christmas is some panda teeth. Some panda teeth, baby panda teeth. If we could string some garland made of panda teeth, then I would have a Merry Christmas. Celebrate a holiday tradition. Gosh, oh gee, how happy I'd be if it involved dentition. All I want for Christmas is some panda teeth. Some panda teeth, baby panda teeth. If we could string some garland made of panda teeth, then I would have a Merry Christmas. Every woman a gift that will amaze and mesmerize her. Nothing will surpass the thrill of a panda cub's incisor. All I want for Christmas is some panda teeth. Some panda teeth, baby panda teeth. If we could string some garland made of panda teeth, then I would have a Merry Christmas.
You can find handcrafted jewelry made of genuine baby panda teeth at all Blaylock dollar stores. And and wherever fine endangered animal products are sold.
I'm sorry, Blaylock. I just can't join in on this. It doesn't seem right to me.
All right. Well, hey, at least let me treat you to a free glass of eggnog at the grand opening of my brand new holiday-themed casino. I'm starting a new tradition combining Christmas and Hanukkah. I'm calling it Mucho Mas.
What?
At my casino, we will be celebrating Mucho Mas for 8 straight days. Every day, little children will wake up and find a pile of gifts under their Mucho Mas tree. Is that fabulous or what?
That's awful. Is that what you really want? For Americans to go on a mass spending spree to get enough gifts to last an entire week?
Exactly. Or maybe even longer. Maybe it could go until Super Bowl Sunday. Hey, I could promote this as a mass celebration of gifting. Mucho mass. Hey, it's pretty slick, huh?
It's not so much slick as slimy. Listen, Vincent, I gotta go and finish this radio show. Maybe we can talk about this later. And by later, I mean never.
Yeah, I gotta go too. I got a meeting with a venture capitalist about using nets to catch drowning polar bears and then knitting potholders from their fur.
Ugh.
Great idea. Anyway, I'll catch you later. And hey, don't forget to keep the moss in Mucho Mas.
Oh, jeez, I tell you. This commercialization of Christmas is really getting to me. I feel like Linus in the Charlie Brown Christmas Show when he gave that speech that said...
Hold on there, Jim. I gotta warn you. You better not say anything if you haven't purchased the rights to quote from that show. Believe me, you don't want those goons from Charles Schultz's estate to break your kneecaps.
Oh, well, thanks for that advice, Chester. It's just money. Lousy, stinking money. That's all this holiday is about anymore. Back when I was a kid, Christmas was an opportunity for people to get together. We gave each other little gifts, but everybody had a good time, except for Uncle Gustav. He was convinced that elves were Soviet agents.
Well, you just can't stop celebrating it, Jim. Christmas has been around for 2,000 years. Besides, people need a holiday in the deep of winter to lift their spirits.
But why does it have to be such a phony baloney holiday? Why can't we have a sincere holiday? One that's not based on making profits for toy companies.
Oh, right, Jim. What are you going to do? Create your own holiday?
Well, sure. Why not? If Blaylock can do it, so can I. I'll call it, Christmas. It'll be like Christmas, but kinder and gentler. Without all the pressure, stress, and random violence. For as Gandhi said, small is beautiful.
And beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Yes. Therefore, small is in the eye of the beholder. And as the Bible says, the eye of a rich man can never pass through the eye of a needle on a camel.
What's your point, Jim?
I can't quite remember. Instead, you know, I think I'll just sing this song.
Feliz cruzamos, feliz cruzamos, feliz cruzamos, tell Spyro Agnew that he's not the boss. Feliz cruzamos, feliz cruzamos, feliz cruzamos, tell Spyro Agnew that he's not the boss. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Jim, hold on a second there. You do know that song is under copyright.
Well, that's impossible. I just made it up.
No, I'm pretty sure I heard that on the Lady Gaga Christmas special.
Well, okay. Let me think then. Okay, I think I got something else. How about this?
Hey, Have yourself a very little Christmas. Spending big is lame. From now on, the holidays won't be the same. Have yourself a very little Christmas. Try to keep it small. Next year we might have no holiday at all. Here we are on the avenue, our dear avenue called G. Join with me and we'll celebrate Christmas microscopically. Through the years, Christmas will gain momentum, and the world will see you can't buy joy, you'll find it in simplicity. So have a little Christmas, it's commercial free.
Well, that's good. That sounds completely original. You know, Jim, I'm 100% behind you on this new holiday. Christmas, as we know it, it has turned into a complete sham. It's such a sham, I'd even call it a sham wow.
You're right, Chester. It's totally manufactured. It's all part of the Freemason conspiracy to control the government, like the so-called Apollo spaceship, which supposedly landed on the moon. That wasn't real.
You may have a point there, Andy. I always suspected the moon never really existed.
Yeah, you and Ben Carson. Listen, Andy, why don't you put your paranoid frenzy to good use? I've got a job for you. For our new holiday, Christmas, we're going to have to deliver a whole lot of toys. That means we're going to have to fly them all over the world, which means we're going to have to build a giant magic flying...
No problem, Jim. I got you covered. I'll go down to my wood shop in the basement and get started right away.
Okay, but... I want to make sure that you understand exactly what it is that you're...
Not to worry, my friend. In my mind, I'm already working on it. It's going to be beautiful. You'll be blown away.
Okay, Andy, but just to be clear, what is it that you're building? And please, phrase your answer in a single word.
A sledge. A sledge, just like Santa Claus rides.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. Andy, it's pronounced sleigh.
Right, a sledge.
No, it's spelled with a G, but it's pronounced sleigh. Here. Say it with me. Santa rides a sleigh.
Sledge.
Sleigh.
Sledge.
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 Sleigh. Sleigh. Sleigh.
Jim, I think you should just let this one go. Andy, you go downstairs and build your cart-like transportation device. I'm certain you'll do a slightly better than mediocre job.
Oh, I sure will. And while I'm building it, I'd like to listen to the 70s soulful mega hit, We Are Family by Sister Sleigh. See you guys later.
Well, we got the sled taken care of. Now, where are we going to get flying reindeer?
Let's just use your flatulent robot, R2-D2. He can fly, and he has the strength of 1,000 aircraft carriers. He's back in the green room watching TV. We should ask him if he'll help you out.
Great idea. Let's go ask him. What the heck is he watching?
It's one of those soap opera telenovelas they show on Univision. He loves Spanish TV. It reminds him of where he was built, in Mexico. Back then, in 1963, he was known as El Flatulenta. He performed in a traveling circus until he was trampled in an elephant stampede and secretly rebuilt by the American Army.
Wow. I had no idea. And now he works for us.
Yep. Hey, Fartu, could you pull a sleigh for us through the sky on Christmas Eve? Great. Thanks a lot.
Jim, excuse me, but since Fartu came from Mexico, maybe we could go down there and get some toys made by impoverished Mexican workers.
Now, Chester, you're missing the whole point of Christmas. We will not be importing any sweatshop toys. All our toys will be homemade right here in the good old USA.
But Jim, if you make toys at home, you still have to buy supplies, like crepe paper, rubber cement, and glitter. And the only place you can get glitter is from the glitter mines deep in the hills of Mozambique.
Really? I didn't know that. But then again, what if all our gifts are made from recycled materials? Everything could be made from stuff we pick out of the garbage.
Oh, come on. What are you going to do? Give someone a fruitcake with an expiration date that's passed?
Martha, have you ever seen a fruitcake with an expiration date on it?
No, I've never seen that.
Right, because fruitcakes never expire. They are an eternal baked good, forged by elves.
I understand. I'll go out and start collecting some trash. Uncle Chester, want to come with me?
Sure, why not? I'm sad to say that's the best offer I've had all day.
This is going to be the best Christmas ever. Catch you later, Jim.
Finally, some peace and quiet. Now I can devise a plan for delivering wholesome toys on Christmas Eve. Geez, it's like Grand Central Station around here. Yes?
Good day, sir. My name is Barry McGee, Esquire, from the law firm of Gimme Cash and More. May I say what a beautiful snowman you have standing out front.
Oh, you mean Mr. Lucky. Yeah, thank you. I put a lot of work into making him.
And it shows. May I come in?
Yeah, sure, I guess. Listen, if you're here about the copyright violations...
No, Mr. Harris. I am here as a representative of Mr. Santa Claus. He has retained me as his legal counsel. It is my understanding that you have initiated a new holiday called Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Claus is concerned that you may be committing a copyright violation.
What? Christmas has no copyright. Everything I'm doing is completely legal, at least in the Cayman Islands.
Be that as it may, Mr. Claus would be very grateful if you were to cease and desist from pursuing this new holiday. He would be indebted to you, and he is a very good friend to have. Why, perhaps you could even come and work in his toy shop.
Oh, I see what's going on. Well, if Santa thinks he can push me around, he better think again. You go back and tell him I don't kowtow to anybody. I'm from Germantown. We play by our own rules, and everybody gets a trophy.
I'm very sorry to hear that. After all, you've put so much work into creating this holiday of yours, and that beautiful snowman outside. It would be a shame if something were to happen to it.
Okay, that's it. Get out. I'm not afraid of you with your fancy Harvard law degree and your pinstripe Brooks Brothers suit.
Actually, I got my degree online and the suit is from Kmart. Nonetheless, I shall relay your message to Mr. Claus. Good day, sir.
Oh, boy. That's infuriating.
Oh, that was exhausting, too.
I think I'll go back to my dressing room and take a little nap.
Yeah, who is it?
It's Barry McGee. I have a message for Santa.
Okay, hold on. Come on in.
Okay, thanks. Hey, you're Vinny, the enforcer elf. I thought you were in the slammer.
Yeah, I just got out.
Well, you should be happy. Why are you looking so glum?
I know I am kind of glum, but I've been experiencing some complications and... Well, it's not going to be a very Merry Christmas for me.
Whatever do you mean?
Well, let me put it like this. I ran numbers on the street. Somebody snitched on me. I bought a city council seat. Somebody snitched on me. I robbed a bank and stole a car. Gave a guy a nasty. Took a baby's candy bar. Somebody snitched. it's all me. Oh, I'm getting nothing for Christmas. The district attorney is mad. Yeah, I'm getting nothing for Christmas. 'Cause they say I did something bad. I won't be helping Santa Claus. Somebody snitched on me. I can't ride with him because somebody snitched on me. Next year I'll be going straight. Next year I'll be good, just wait. I'd start now but it's too late, 'cause somebody snitched on me. Oh, I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Woo! District attorney is bad.
Oh, he's bad.
Yeah, I'm getting nothing for Christmas. 'Cause they say I did something bad. So you better be good whatever you do, 'cause if you're bad, I'm warning you, you'll get nothing for Christmas.
Very well. I appreciate the warning. Vinny, here, take my card. It sounds like you might be in need of some legal advice.
Thanks, McGee. What did you want to tell Santa?
Tell him that Jim Harris creep refused to play ball. He's still planning to have his alternative holiday. I think he might change his mind, though, when he finds the little gift I left in his bed.
yeah, I get your drift. Okay, I'll tell the big guy for you. So long, McGee.
Jim, where are you? Come check out this great stuff Uncle Chester and I found in the trash. Jim?
What? Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm getting up. Hold on. What's this?
Ah, Mr. Lucky!
Jim, Jim, what's going on?
Oh, holy mackerel, Jim. What's that snowman's head doing in your bed?
It's Mr. Lucky. They killed him. I'm afraid Santa has decided to try and stop Christmas. But he will fail, because we have truth and justice on our side. So tell me, what wonderful goodies have you picked from the dumpsters?
Okay, I got some really great stuff. First, I found this blanket. It's got a few bed bugs, but I'm sure we can douse it with DDT, and it'll be as good as new. Huh. Also, I got a box of broken glass, and let's see. I also got...
Jim, I just want you to know I had nothing to do with this. I tried to stop her. I think she's nuts. Uh-huh.
Oh, and I found an enormous block of nutmeg, and... this jug of mayonnaise. Want to try some?
Okay, listen. Those things are horrible. We can't make toys out of broken glass and rancid mayonnaise. Have you lost your mind?
Well, yeah, but not recently.
Hey, Jim, I'm all finished. Would you like to see the sledge I've created?
Sure, Andy. It actually might cheer me up since Martha's work was a complete failure.
There. What do you think of it?
You dolt! That's a sledgehammer! I told you to build a sleigh! You and Martha are complete morons. You just have one good brain cell between you. You're totally worthless. Just get out of here.
But it's a snowy evening and it'll be dark soon. Where shall we go?
I don't know. How about Rhode Island? They might need a few more idiots there.
But the people there, they would rather die than live free.
No, they would rather live free than die.
It's no use arguing with him, Martha. He's just too smart for us. We just better go.
Okay. Goodbye, Uncle Chester. So long, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Well, I guess this is where we part ways, Martha. It's been nice working with you.
Goodbye, Andy. If you need to find me, I'll be wandering the streets in threadbare rags, selling matches.
Okay. Now I have no one, not even Martha. I feel so low, I think I'll go down to the community carol sing. Maybe that'll give me some holiday cheer.
Welcome to the 2015 Community Carol Sing. I'm Sister Catherine Articulato, foundress and musical director of the Immaculate Annunciation Choir. Our mission is to promote robust pronunciation and dynamic diction in singing.
Oh my God, it's Sister Catherine. She was my teacher in third grade. She must be like 100 years old.
Singing is the highest expression of the individual and collective soul. We must deliver it with the care and attention it deserves. Tonight, all of you will experience being transformed from lazy singers to properly pronouncing prodigies.
Wow, she hasn't changed a bit. Hope she doesn't recognize me.
Now, allow me to demonstrate how proper diction can make a song much clearer. I am getting nothing for Christmas. Mother and father are sad. I am getting nothing for Christmas, for I have been nothing but bad. You see? Now, ensemble singing requires true unity and precision to produce the sound of a single large voice. In order to demonstrate, I'll ask each of you to speak the phrase, "Joy to the world." Why don't you go first? Oh, my. Andrew Pettit? Is that you?
Yeah, it's me, sister.
Goodness. What are you doing here?
Well, I got fired from my job and I've nowhere to go.
I knew you would never amount to anything. Now, let me hear you say, "Joy to the world."
I don't really want to get involved in this right now. I'm not feeling that great.
Well, stand up straight and say, "Joy to the world."
Joy to the world.
Now, how about you, sir, in the back? The gentleman with the guitar.
"Joy to the world, ma'am."
Very good. And you, miss? "Joy to the world." Excellent. Now, I want all of you to imagine those disparate pronunciations sung together. What cacophony it would be. The key to clarity is uniformity of the vowel sounds. We accomplish this by using a single vowel sound, one that resembles no other vowel found in human speech. I will demonstrate. "Jota the wild, the Lord has come."
That's it, I'm out of here. Even holiday songs are depressing. Everything has gone so wrong. Why would it be better if I just never existed? I think I'll just jump into the river and end it all.
Excuse me, sir. I'm wondering if you could help me.
Are you an angel who has come to save me? Do you want me to help you get your wings?
No, I'm a fashion designer, Tim Gunn. Have you been drinking?
Oh, great. I suppose you're going to show me some dystopic view of what the world would be like if I'd never been born.
I'm sorry. I was going to a Christmas party on Germantown Avenue. I was hoping you might know where it is. I'm not an angel. I am the host of Project Runway on the Lifetime Channel.
Well, in that case, I'll just hurl myself off this bridge into the mighty Schuylkill River.
That's not the Schuylkill River. It's the Trickle-Down Creek. And it's only 5 inches deep. And this isn't a bridge. It's a culvert. But you seem to be down on your luck, so here's what I can do. I can't improve your life, but I can give you my sports coat.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Tommy Gunn.
The jacket is Harris tweed, made from the finest wool, hand-woven in the Outer Hebrides. It'll keep you warm, and it's a timeless look that goes with everything.
Wow, you're right. Why, this fashionable jacket, no one can stop me.
Yes, let's hope so. Sorry, but I've got to go now. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Gee, I feel so lucky. I wonder if Martha fared as well as I have.
I'm hungry and cold, and I have no future. It's been half an hour since Jim fired me. I'll never have jewels made of teeth from a panda, 'cause I lost my job on Avenue G. Please buy my matches 2 for a penny. Or else I will freeze on a cold Christmas day. Life was so good, I worked at the station. It showed up on time, never asked for a raise. But the host was so cruel, he called me a moron. Why did I bring back that bad mayonnaise? is this cold Christmas day?
Matches for sale. Matches for sale. Who will buy my pathetic, worthless matches before I freeze into a solid, giant ice cube and get whisked off to heaven?
Fire sticks, red hot! Come and get 'em. Matches, matches, who needs matches?
Excuse me, sir, are you selling matches?
Well, I say I can't put anything over on you. How in the world did you figure that out?
I just mean, how many match sellers could there possibly be out here on Avenue G?
Well, right now, there's one more than there ought to be. Because this here is my corner. And if you're thinking of cutting in on my territory, let me inform you that I work for Santa. Get your matches.
But, sir, what do you mean you work for Santa? And why do you say it like it's a threat?
Now listen here, Eliza Doolittle. You don't think anyone could control an industry like Christmas without flexing a little muscle now, do you? Let me tell you how it is here with Santa. Who's got a deal you can't refuse? Santa's got a deal you can't refuse. Who's gonna give you concrete shoes? Santa's gonna give you concrete shoes. Can't refuse concrete shoes. Must be evil. Must be Santa. Must be evil Santa Claus. Put a price tag on your head. Santa put a price tag on your head. Put a snowman in your bed. Santa put a snowman in your bed. Snowman head in your bed. Must be evil. Must be Santa. Must be evil Santa Claus. Takes the cookies from your dish. Santa takes the cookies from your dish. Who sees you sleeping with the fish? Santa sees you sleeping with the fish. With the fish from your dish. Must be evil. Must be Santa. Must be evil Santa Claus.
Wow. I never would have guessed.
Yeah, well, you don't seem very bright. Now, get off my corner.
Maybe I am as incompetent as Jim says. If I could sell just one match, I'd feel redeemed. I'd still freeze to death, but I'd feel redeemed.
Why, good day, young match girl. I am Rabbi Reginald Dinkus from Temple Beth Shlomo. I am in need of some matches to light 8 candles. Unfortunately, all the light fixtures in my synagogue were recently rewired by an electrician named Antiochus Epiphanes. He totally botched the job and then skipped town.
How horrid! Whatever will you do?
Fortunately, our congregation has collected 8 candles to light our temple for 8 nights, which reminds me of a story that took place in a shtetl in Russia. A man who usually ate 2 eggs for breakfast woke up to find his wife had only cooked 1. I think this teaches us a valuable lesson.
I'm not quite following your allegory, but I could sell you some matches.
Alas, I can only purchase 1 match, but wouldn't it be miraculous if that one match could light 8 candles that would burn for 8 nights? Which reminds me of a story that took place in Poland. A woman, who usually baked 5 loaves of bread each day, found she could only bake 3.
You gonna buy a match or what?
Yes, I will. Here, let me give you this tuppence. Perhaps you can use it to buy some gruel at the local workhouse.
Or I can invest it and use the proceeds to create a match factory, which I will then transform into a multinational match conglomerate.
Sounds like a good plan. It reminds me of a story of a young boy from a peasant village in Romania. Every day he would milk a goat.
If I have to hear this rabbi tell another rambling, pointless story, I think I'm going to have a brain hemorrhage. Maybe I was better off working for Jim. Wonder how he's doing without anyone to assist in his Christmas planning.
Okay. I gotta keep it together. Let's see. So far I have constructed 15 toys, although 12 of them have already fallen apart. Oh, jeez, this whole gift-giving thing is a lot harder to pull off than I thought. Oh, and there goes the freaking doorbell again. I can't get any work done.
Good day, sir. My name is Birker Wilhelmsherr. I recently opened a workplace relations counseling center in the building next door. As it is Christmas season, I was preparing some eggnog, but I realized I was lacking nutmeg. Might you have some I could borrow?
Sure. Come on in. You can scrape some nutmeg off this giant block that one of my former co-workers, Martha, picked from the garbage. Fortunately, nutmeg has no expiration date.
So, you say this Martha person was a former co-worker. Why does she no longer work here?
Well, we got in a big fight over mayonnaise, so I threw her out into the streets. Suppose I may have been a bit harsh. Now I'm all alone, and my future business plans are crumbling before my eyes like so many chocolate chip cookies, scorched by the sun on a hot winter's eve.
Perhaps I could hold a seminar for you and your former employees. I could teach you effective workplace relations and how to treat each other with respect.
Wow, that would be fantastic. If you could do that, I'd be willing to give you this entire giant block of solid nutmeg.
Okay. Is there any way that you could gather your co-workers back together again?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I could put a chocolate chip cookie in the microwave. The odor of its sweet chocolatey goodness would draw them back like moths to a warm cookie. I'll just pop one in the microwave and see what happens.
Hello? Jim? Is anyone here? I have a really nice tweed jacket I'd like to show you.
Hey. Hi, everybody. I was just in the neighborhood and I smelled cookies baking. I don't suppose you could spare one for a poor little match girl.
Martha! Andy! Oh, I'm so glad you came back. Listen, I'd like you to join me in a sensitivity training session with the... what was your name again?
Birker Wilhelmsherr.
Why don't we just call him Mr. B?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, he'd like to ask you a few questions.
Thank you. Let's begin with Andy. Andy, has there ever been any time in the past where Jim has been insensitive to you?
Well, there was the one time he told me I was an obdurate dullard because I tried to milk a chicken. But I figured chickens had to produce milk because that would be the only way you could make chicken cheese, like they use when cooking a chicken cheesesteak.
Jim, were you aware that those words were hurtful to Andy?
Yes, of course. That's why I said it.
And Martha, have you experienced any uncomfortable situations in the workplace?
Yes, I have. Andy frequently says inappropriate things and sometimes comes to work wearing nothing but UGG boots and a highly reflective gold lamé Speedo. It shone so brightly it blinded me with crotch light.
What do you think of that, Andy?
What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question. I was too busy ogling my coworker. Hey, Martha, your hind end looks really hot in that tight leather skirt you're wearing. Why, I could stare at it all day.
Andy, that's not my butt you're staring at. It's Jim's. And he's not wearing a leather skirt. He's wearing a pair of Hagar double-knit slacks he got from Goodwill.
Yeah, that's one fine caboose you got there.
You moron, I'm standing behind you. You are looking at Jim. And his caboose is far from fine. In fact, it's more like a train wreck.
Listen, guys, I think we're spending a bit too much time talking about my butt here. Andy, you simply can't harass Martha. She's not just a piece of meat.
So I guess you're saying I can't compliment her from now on?
No. That's not correct, Andy. You still can say nice things to your colleagues. You simply have to say them in a more respectful way. For example, let's say you wish to compliment your coworker on her skirt. You should not say, "You look good in that skirt." Rather, you should say, "That is a nice skirt you are wearing." Do you understand the distinction?
I sure do. You know, Martha, that's a really hot-looking leather skirt you're wearing.
Andy, I'm Jim. Martha went out front to smoke a cigar, and I'm not wearing a leather skirt. And neither is Martha.
But at least Andy is making progress. How do you feel, Andy?
I feel great. Much more sensitive than I was. Here, let me show you. Mr. Baker, those are nice shoes you're wearing. See, I didn't say you had nice feet.
Excellent. You complimented something I possess, rather than making a value judgment about me as an individual.
And Jim, I find your gray beard stubble to be somewhat tolerable, although the overall bone structure of your face is much like that of a star-nosed mole rat.
Oh, really? Well, you're an idiot!
Hold on there, Jim. You are making a value judgment about Andy. Try to phrase that in a different way that addresses the features Andy possesses.
All right. Okay, then. Andy, I think the ideas in your head are stupid.
It is my opinion that the words that issue forth from your mouth are dumb.
I have observed that your mother exhibits behavior not unlike that of a common trollop.
It could be said that the contents of your brain case resemble the product of a horse's descending colon.
There now, isn't this a more civilized form of discourse?
It sure is. I feel much better now. But there's still one problem. We still have no toys to give the children for Christmas.
Perhaps you should hire an elf. You could see if there's one available by calling the elf hotline.
Hello? Is this the elf hotline?
Welcome to the Elf Hotline, where all the hottest elves are waiting to talk to you. This call will cost $4 a minute.
Oh. Well, that's too expensive. All we got is the tuppence Martha got from the rabbi, and that's not even valid currency in the U.S. Someone's at the door. Andy, can you get it?
No, I have to go to the bathroom.
All right, I'll get it. Yes?
Hello. My name is Jingle Bingle Pants. I noticed that you have a damaged snowman out front, and I'm an expert at snowman repair. I spent 700 years living in the North Pole as a highly skilled craftsman, and my rates are quite reasonable.
Hold on a second. Are you an elf? Because if you are, I would like to hire you to make toys for me. I'm creating a new holiday to compete with Christmas, which has grown decadent and moribund.
Sure, I'd love to help you. Anything I can do to make life miserable for that stupid jerk, Santa Claus, is well worth my time.
You mean you don't like Santa Claus? I thought elves loved him.
Not me. I'm tired of working for Santa and his socialist agenda. Did you know Santa forbids all his elves from carrying assault rifles when flying in a sleigh? That's what I call government overreach.
Well, if you work for me, you won't have to deal with Santa at all.
That'd be fantastic. Count me in.
Great. Come on inside. We got some toys that need to be made in a hurry. Can you do that?
Piece of cake. I got some magic dust that'll do the trick.
Hey, everybody. I'd like you to meet Mr. Jingle Bingle Pants, our new elf consultant. He's going to make toys for us. Martha, why don't you show Mr. Bingle Pants the break room and get him all settled in?
This is just wonderful, Jim. You have solved all your management problems. My work here is done. Now I shall take the giant block of solid nutmeg and depart. Until we meet again, my friend.
Yeah, until then. Thank you for all your help. Oh, there's the darn doorbell again. Santa Claus?
That's right, Mr. Harris. And as you can see, I've brought along a few of my reindeer. Crasher, Smasher, Crusher, and Blitzkrieg. Let me be blunt. If you don't stop honing in on my territory with your alternative Christmas nonsense, these four ungulates will trash this place like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And it ain't gonna be no silly reindeer games.
Wait, hold on there. Are you threatening me?
Hey, everyone. Santa Claus is threatening me.
I prefer to think of it as offering sage advice regarding the type of list on which you might appear. Nice or naughty. Whether or not you choose to heed my counsel is entirely up to you.
You don't scare me. Why, you're just a fat old man who's so obese he couldn't walk across a room without breaking a sweat. And your reindeer, they're so dumb they wouldn't know a concerto from a concerto grosso.
You know, you can insult me. That's not a problem. I'm a man of the world. I can take it. But when you insult my reindeer, well, they may not be so understanding.
Big deal. They're just a bunch of lichen-eating nanny goats.
Ho, ho, ho! So you think so, eh? Let's see how you like it when they stomp their hoofprints all over your stinking little operation here. Attack! Attack, evil reindeer! Attack Jim Harris!
Stop! Stop them! They're attacking me! Help! evil enforcer reindeer are destroying everything. What should I do?
I don't know about you, but I'm getting out of here.
What about you, Jingle Bingle Pants? Do you have any magic dust that you can use to make these reindeer stop?
No, but I do have an AK-47, which the Constitution clearly allows me to carry, just like George Washington did when he crossed the Delaware. Now, if I could only figure out how this thing works. You have any idea how to shoot this?
Of course not! What do I look like, Vin Diesel? It's your gun. You should know how to use it.
No, I'm sorry. I have no idea. Listen, I gotta go. You take care now, okay?
Oh, jeez, look at this mess. What am I supposed to do now? I haven't got any toys and all my friends have run away.
That's not true, Jim. I was just ducking for cover.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? I stepped into the bathroom for a few minutes, and when I came out, I saw giant hamsters destroying the station.
You were in the bathroom all that time?
Yeah, well, I ate some string cheese that was past the expiration date. Things got kind of backed up.
Oh, too much information. Well, it doesn't matter anyway. All the toys are smashed. Christmas is ruined. We have nothing left. Like the people of Whoville, whose plight I would describe in detail, were it not for my fear of copyright infringement.
But we still have each other, right? And we can always rebuild the station. Why, given all the times it's been blown up or destroyed by evil robots, we've gained a whole lot of experience in the construction trade.
Andy's right, even though he has a difficult time distinguishing reindeer from hamsters. For as it is written, every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing, without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same.
Dahoodores, welcome Christmas, come this way. Spiro, Agnew, Rudyard, Kipling, welcome Christmas, Christmas Day. Welcome, welcome, Regis Philbin, welcome, welcome, Oprah Winfrey. Christmas Day is in our grasp, so long as we have hands to clasp. Harlow, Guthrie, Hedda, Gabler, Christmas Day will always be. Millard, Fillmore, Yogi, Berra, just so long as we have we.
Well, so much for the copyright infringement-free Christmas show. Anyway, Martha, I got you a gift. I sold one of my kidneys so I could buy you a selfie stick for your iPhone 6.
Oh, Jim, that's so touching, but I sold my iPhone 6 so I could buy you an iPhone 7.
Oh, well, okay. I'll just keep the selfie stick then. It'll go great with my new iPhone 7. Thanks. Here, let me take a selfie with Germantown Avenue in the background. Hey, I can even see the 8 candles on the window of the Temple Beth Slomo across the street.
Guys, every time you hear a bell, an angel gets its wings, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, I'll get it. Oh, hey, Chester.
Hey there, everybody. Why don't you come on outside? The carolers are here, and Blaylock has eggnog for everyone.
Yeah, have some of this eggnog. It's free. My casino, it went bankrupt again. So I got, like, all this leftover eggnog. Have some.
Gather round, everyone, and remember to lower your diaphragms, breathe from your solar plexus, and sing from the top of your heads. With conviction.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Well, that's it for this holiday edition of Avenue G. Thanks to our special guest, Chester B. Arthur. Tonight's show was written by Mac Jacob, Martha Michael, and Jim Herod. Beginning on January 1st, 2016, Avenue G will be presenting a live show every first Friday at the fabulous new Alma Mater Restaurant at 7165 Germantown Avenue here in Philadelphia. And in addition, all of our monthly podcasts can be heard anytime on our website, avenue-g.net. This is Andy Pettit speaking. Thank you to all our loyal listeners, wherever you may be. Here's wishing everyone a peaceful and joyous holiday season. Good night.